You are Locked On Reds, your daily Cincinnati Reds podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into your daily source for the Cincinnati Reds throughout the offseason. This is the Locked On Reds podcast, and I'm your host, Jeff Carr. What's up, Reds fans? Welcome into the Locked On Reds podcast. It is a Friday, and we've got a lot of stuff to get to. The final part of the interview with Mo Egger, and I want to talk about some awesome comments from Dick Williams in a number of different interviews that he had. Also, want to, we'll just say a few things about the Pirates. But before we get to that, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Himalaya, all of the podcasting apps that are out there. We're coming to you each and every day during the off season. It's going to be fun. And they've already started off. I mean, the Reds have already got things going. They got great coaching hires, lots of rumors. We're going to be talking about that each and every day here on the Locked On Reds podcast. Also, save the Locked On Reds line number into your phone, 513-549-0159, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Reds and at Jeff Carr with three F's. Real quick, want to talk about some of the things Dick Williams said, because man, they are exciting. And it's hilarious because the last part of the interview with Mo today, we're going to talk about how the Reds really need to put their money where their mouth is and go after some big guys and like free agency trades, whatever, you know, to build a great team for 2020. And then here Dick Williams is in a couple of different interviews, literally coming out and saying, we are going for it in 2020. They want to be a playoff team. And it's just, it was so refreshing to see that he answered every question very poignantly. It wasn't as if he was trying to give some, you know, executive speak where he talks his way out of the answer. No, I mean, he literally said word for word. Whenever C. Trent in the Athletics article with C. Trent interviewing Dick Williams, C. Trent asked him if there will be an increase in payroll. And this is Dick Williams' answer word for word. We will have a higher payroll this year. That will give us opportunities to do some interesting things in the offseason. Quote, unquote, word for word, promise you, I'm not taking that out of context. That's not paraphrasing anything like that. Whoa. All right. Here we go, Reds fans. This is going to be fun. I tell you, I'm just pumped. Now, I'm not saying that that means I'm expecting them to go after Anthony Rendon or things like that, but they understand the window's opening. He even says that later on in the interview. He says that we believe that our window for contention is opening. And so we're just going to go all in on this thing. And then C. Trent kind of dives deep into what they think about the roster, who they think is kind of set in stone, who they think needs upgraded. And of course, one of the things he says is the middle infield needs, you know, adjusting. When he talked about Jose Iglesias, he said, you know, he was great. We loved him. We might, you know, take a look at him, things like that. But he's not like saying what everyone is wondering about, like, oh, we're going to back up the Brinks truck for him and try and keep him. He didn't even really mention Freddy Galvis. I mean, he kind of did, but not really. So I think they're really going to go hard at this middle infield thing. And then if they can, they may look at center field and they may move Nick Senzel into second base. Who knows? He says that they will not be able to evaluate him until January. That's when he will be cleared for baseball activities. So we're not going to hear really any sort of updates about Nick Senzel until 2020 rolls around. But that's okay because there's still plenty of other things they can do. He even addressed the catcher position. He's like, you know, we liked the production that we got, but we can definitely upgrade on the offensive side. A.K.A. Yasmani Grandal. Hello. If you're going to upgrade payroll, go get that man. Do it. Do it right. Well, you can't do it right now, but do it as soon as you possibly can. I'm excited. And now, obviously, he can say all of that stuff and get us excited. And then if we're still sitting here with a very similar roster opening day 2020, then we're all going to know it was just lip service. But as of right now, I'm excited, and I think we've got the right man for the job. I've seen some people being mad online about different things that the Reds have done, and some people saying that they think Dick Williams should be cut loose, let him go. He's done. He hasn't done anything for the club. Those people just need to shut up, all right? I know you've got the ability to type your own opinions out on social media. That doesn't mean it's smart. That doesn't mean that you're right. In fact, you're really wrong if you think Dick Williams should be let go, because this is the man for the job. I trust him. I think he's going to help build the Reds into a winner. Speaking of winners, and actually this is the opposite of winners, really. Well, now I'm babbling, but we're talking about our friends in Pittsburgh. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know if you've seen recently or if you've read anything about them. They fired their manager. No more Clint Hurdle. We will not see him manning the dugout for the Pirates. In fact, they fired their pitching coach as well. Things have gotten so bad over there at PNC Park that there was actually a former employee who, under the guise of anonymity, called for the Pittsburgh City Council, the mayor, and really anybody in power to audit the owner of the Pirates. Now, you could say that, boy, that really sucks. And you'd be right. You just hate to see it from an organization like Pittsburgh. Really unfortunate where, you know, you just feel so good about the year in May, and then come October, you've lost over 90 games and you no longer have a manager, a pitching coach. Who knows about the general manager? Who knows he'll still going to be on the team next year as far as the roster is concerned? But one thing is for certain, it's going to be different. The rivalry with the Reds and the Pirates maybe a little less tumultuous next year. And heck, I bet some people are even happy about that. But one thing is for certain. We will miss the supposed fights, the expected fights, between David Bell and Clint Hurdle. Really would have liked to have seen that. I'd imagine David Bell come running out of the dugout, do a Superman punch on Clint Hurdle, and then that would be about it. Yeah, it wouldn't be a very long fight, but hey, it would have been satisfying. Nonetheless, Clint Hurdle's no longer there. And neither's Ray Searidge. Who knows what's going to happen to Neil Huntington. But the Pirates are in trouble. And that is your expanded today in Why the Pirates Suck. Got a couple of ads for you, then we will jump into the final part of my interview with Mo Egger. Brought to you by Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app. Make your next memory with Vivid Seats. Use promo code POSTSEASON for a discount of up to $100 off of your next ticket order.
Have you ever worn really comfortable socks?
Yeah.
Because Bombas are what feet daydream about.
I've got some.
Bombas are amazing. Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every pair that is purchased, a pair is given to someone who needs socks. Go to bombas.com/locked. You're going to get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/locked. And I'm wondering, I don't know, a man of your stature and in your station in life, probably doesn't have to worry about this too often, but the last time you went to buy some seats, did you go straight through the team? Did you go up to the box office? Did you say, hey, I need a couple of tickets? Or did you buy them on your phone?
I bought them on my phone.
So did
what do you mean, I don't buy tickets to games? What are you talking about? Guy, my stature doesn't. What do you mean?
I figured people were just giving you tickets left and right.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. I'm always walking into free tickets. Yeah.
Well,
as I'm sitting out there in the reaches of right field and the upper deck, yeah, captain free tickets because these teams all love me so much.
Exactly.
Just handing over. How many do you want, Mo?
And in case your station in life does not see that you're getting free tickets all the time, I urge you to check out the Vivid Seats app. I actually bought my tickets when I went to PNC Park this last weekend from Vivid Seats.
How about that?
Very nice. Decently priced. I'm not going to promise that they always have decent prices. It just so happened that the Pirates and the Reds are both bad, so no one cared about that game.
Perfect.
But with the promo code POSTSEASON, you can go to your next game with a very nice discount. You could get a discount, depending on how expensive the tickets are, up to $100.
Wow.
With the promo code POSTSEASON. Download the Vivid Seats app and do that right now. And you know what? That's not even limited to sports. You could go to live events. You could go to a concert, a comedy act. I'm blanking. I'm thinking just Jerry Seinfeld. But whatever you can think of, promo code POSTSEASON, it's going to get you a discount of up to $100. Do you see, based on what you've seen from Dick Williams, because I know the past would dictate one thing, but based what we've seen from Dick Williams and Nick Kroll, do you think the Reds entertain the idea of going after a Francisco Lindor or Mookie Betts? And do they make a genuine offer? Not like, hey, we'll give you a double-A guy for him.
If the answer is no, then what are they doing?
Right.
I mean, every professional sports franchise has to arrive at a point where we're about winning right now. Mm-hmm. After so many years, if you're not there yet, what are you doing?
Yep.
If the answer is no, if the answer is continue to shop in the bargain bin and kick the can down the curb or down the sidewalk another year or two, at some point your franchise has to be about winning the championship.
Yep.
I don't care what sport it is. If not, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So if before the offseason even begins, and I understand they have a budget, and maybe Francisco Lindor himself, who no more years of team control, or one more year of team control?
I think he's got one more after this.
Right. I believe he has one more year.
Yeah.
If you go, well, we can get him, or we can get this guy, at what it would cost to get Francisco Lindor, well, that's okay, that's fine. But if before the offseason even begins, we are going to start crossing off guys' names just because, well, it's a big name free agent, the Reds don't do that, and boy, it's going to cost a lot of money in the Reds. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We could have had this conversation a year ago because a lot of folks have asked me, well, was this season a success? And my response to that is always, I'll tell you in a year. This was the jumping, this was the bridge year, right? This was the year, this was like 2017 for Milwaukee, where they took a step forward. Right. Reds didn't take quite that same kind of step forward. But this was going to be the year where they took that step forward, the year that you have to have where you win more games than you had been winning, but you're probably not yet good enough. If the idea then isn't the following year, follow it up with a lot of aggressiveness, then what in the hell did you just do? Everything you just did, what was the point of getting Puig and making roster up? Like, at some point, especially when you do have something to build around, like that starting staff and Suarez in his prime, and for what it's worth, still Joey Votto. If not now, then when?
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean overspend. It doesn't mean spend irresponsibly. It doesn't mean go get guys just to get guys. But if at the outside of an offseason, we're going to discount possibilities, what are we doing?
I think John Fay said the most disconcerting thing on one of the final broadcasts of the season. In the second inning, they were talking to him. They asked him what he thinks the organization is going to do. And he said, and I don't remember word for word, but he basically said they're going to revamp the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
consciously maybe get some bargains on a couple of hitters and maybe trade for a fifth starter. If that happens, and now I'm crazy, I'm going to be there no matter what. I'm really excited about baseball coming back because I miss it already. But I hope the casual fan buys less fry boxes. If that happens.
Those things can happen. You're not winning a World Series with that being the only things that happen. Yeah, I dump on bargain bin guys. Every team wants bargain bin guys.
Yeah.
I said this on my radio show today about the Bengals. It applies to the Reds. When you have something of need, when there's something in your house you need, you don't go to the bargain bin place. You go to the top-end appliance store. I'll buy bargain bin stuff for crap around my house. I just bought one to put my bourbon bottles on.
Yeah.
And I'll refurnish it, and I got it for nothing at an antique sale. I'm not buying an antique refrigerator to keep my food safe and healthy and fresh. So, yeah, you can go bargain bin shopping, but for the crap you need, well, I mean, so, yeah, could they get some guys in the bargain bin who help you? They need high-level offensive production from somewhere. I'm not getting that in the bargain bin.
No.
And, frankly, you know, no, don't limit that to these one-year rentals where if it goes south, we can trade him at the deadline. Like, to me, it's, you know, we talk about going all in, but it'd be kind of cool if you can go all in for the next couple of years. So, do they need a fifth starter? You know, Marty said it in his second-to-last broadcast. If the idea is Tyler Mahle is going to be the five next year, you know, there's some good to that. I think he's better than people realize, but you can do better than Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
And is there always going to be a premium on bench players with the way this manager operates? Yeah, of course. And with the way this manager uses the bullpen, is there going to be a premium on bullpen? Yeah, go get that. Where are you getting the high-level offensive production? Where's it coming from?
Right.
And it's funny because, you know, you go around the diamond, it's like, well, you know, I don't want to touch Senzel. Okay, fine. Well, what about the right fielder? Well, Aquino could be okay. Okay, what about left field? Well, you know, Irvin's good against lefties, and Winker. Oh, okay. how about shortstop? Well, we like Iglesias' glove. All right. Well, how about catcher? Tucker's nice on Twitter. Like,
right.
At some point, you've got to. To me, the idea should be, here should be the goal. This is the goal should be this. When I look at next year's roster, I go, wow, Eugenio Suarez is their second best offensive player.
Yes. I agree with you.
On opening day, I want to look at this team and go, man, Suarez is their second best guy. Nothing against Eugenio at all.
Right.
That's what I get someone who's better than him.
Yep.
And you're not getting that in the bargain basement.
No.
So, again, if they're all in, they're all about acquiring A-level, big league ready, healthy, in their prime, major league players.
Yep. Because you can't go into next season with the exact same roster and expect different results. That's insane.
That's a strategy of hope.
Hope.
This whole thing started in 2014 when clearly they had a team that was flawed in 13, gasped to the playoffs, fired the manager, and then brought back basically the same team with the exception of Shin-Soo Choo and Bronson Arroyo. And I remember going, so is basically the strategy here just hope for better results from individual players? Like,
yeah.
Well, that seems flaky. That seems shaky. We're just going to hope for better results. That's not a strategy. And it's certainly not a strategy for a team that is supposed to try to win a championship this year. Like, me saying them trying to win the World Series shouldn't raise eyebrows. Like, that's the goal now, right?
It's the goal in every sport. You got to win a championship if you're for a championship.
And so if they're not trying to win the World Series in 2020, when are they going to try to do it?
Right.
And
it's not when? Oh, hey, now we'll win. Next year we won't. Then we'll win. No. Every year.
When? Or doesn't mean it's going to work.
Right.
But how many of us would be we always talk about, well, you know, what are fans going to do? How many of us could get behind the philosophy, even knowing the odds are not in favor of it working?
Yeah.
I'd get behind it. And if it doesn't work, you know what? You took a stab at it. But I think I could speak for a lot of Reds fans if their strategies revolve around, well, you know, this guy, we're going to get him to a minor league deal, and he's going to come to camp, and, you know, we could put him in. I mean, stop.
Right.
At some point, you have to acquire in its prime, big league caliber, A-level big league talent.
Absolutely. And a real quick, you've been super generous with your time.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Kind of a fun thing to end on. I went to three parks in the course of the last 2 years. Outside of Great American, mm-hmm. what is your favorite park to go to?
Well, my favorite one, I put it in a different category, is Wrigley.
Okay.
And for the simple reason, and I was thinking about this week because their games are no longer on WGN. Mm-hmm. If you're my age, I'm turned 42 this week. If you're my age, you remember the Cubs being on TV every afternoon at 2:20. Mm-hmm. It wasn't every afternoon, but it felt like it. I mean, I hate to sound old, but like I remember before they had lights at Wrigley, and even once they put in lights, they very rarely played a night game. Every day at 2:20, it felt like the Cubs were on TV. Every single day. So I used to watch that as a kid, and they were great, man. They, when you would watch those games on WGN, they kind of, to me, were like broadcasts are supposed to be. They were commercials for Cubs games.
Right.
You'd see a pitch, and then they go into the stands, and then they see a pitch, and they another shot of a kid in the stands, and you see a pitch, and a drunk guy, and so I'm watching this, and I'm like, man, Wrigley Field looks like the coolest freaking place to be, and you got people on rooftops, like. So my entire childhood, that's all I ever wanted to do was go to Wrigley Field. And then I did, and I go every year. And I know it's corporate and commercialized and whatever, but I still feel like you can stand in the bleachers or sit in the bleachers, look toward home plate, and this requires you suspending peripheral vision a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it did in the 20s. I think that's cool as hell. I just think that the character of the neighborhood, even though they've put up that Wrigleyville monstrosity, which is just, I hate it. There's still a lot of charm and character. So that, to me, a Friday afternoon game at Wrigley Field is still, I'm no Cubs fan by any stretch.
You're right.
But that's my favorite. So that, to me, is in a different category. And then it's Pittsburgh. I mean, PNC Park's a beautiful baseball setting, man. I mean, it's, the year I got divorced, Reds are playing in Pittsburgh. I had a bunch of time off there. It's a Friday evening. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning. I had nothing going on. I drove to Pittsburgh. I mean, I love the park that much. So that is aesthetically my favorite. So I try to go to a new one every year. I went to Atlanta's this year, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed the baseball park itself, which it feels enormous. The neighborhood is, you know, everybody's trying to do these entertainment districts. It's kind of like they dropped the ballpark on Newport on the levee. but my favorite's PNC Park.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, you can get fries on sandwiches there too.
Yeah. I mean, I like PNC Park. I like Phillies. Phillies Park is neat. My goal next year is to go to Washington's. Haven't been. I've been past it. So I'm the Reds are there, I think, the first week of May. So I'm going to try to do that. And I want to go to Coors Field.
Yeah.
Which I've never been to Denver. But I like PNC Park. And I actually like the bowl part of Busch Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The innards of it are a waste. Like, I don't know what they're doing. And they've really done a nice job with the area around it. But when you are in like the upper deck behind the plate and you look kind of toward the arch and downtown, it's a cool setting. I mean, nobody wants to say anything nice about St. Louis, but I liked it. I went to Dodger Stadium last year, which was a really, I had huge expectations, and I thought I'm going to end up being disappointed. And it was awesome. Beautiful place to watch baseball. Pain in the ass to get in and out of, but a really pretty place to watch a ball game.
I'm gonna have to check that because I've seen the Angels and the Padres Stadium aside from PNC Park and those two places. Angels had something that I wish every other team did. They had dedicated parking for their baseball stadium.
Yeah,
this just big ass lot. I think they could about fill everybody in there. They had some adjacent parking spot, but like we parked in this big ass lot and just walked straight up to it.
That's Miller. That's nice. What Miller Parks.
Miller is.
There's nothing near it. That's why I buy tailgates. Miller, it's a ballpark and a big parking lot. But it's cool. It's neat. You know, most ballparks, they're in downtown areas, so they share public garages. You know, I want to go to Minneapolis too.
Oh yeah,
that park looks That park looks. I was thinking about that because I was, you know, looking at the playoff schedule. Target Field. I was in a wedding in Minneapolis, and we walked past it. The Twins weren't home. Looks real. It's always looked cool on TV, so I'd like to go there. But yeah, my favorite's PNC Park. The thing is, though, I've never been to PNC Park when it was that full. Because usually the Pirates aren't very good. But yeah, the PNC Park is neat. It's pretty cool.
Well, hey, I appreciate it, man, and we'll talk again soon this offseason.
No problem. You got it.